Before we partake of the Lord's table, I want to read from Matthew chapter 26, which describes why it is we're partaking. In verse 17, it says, "Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread." Remember in the message I mentioned that was a week long for nothing but unleavened bread, like that which we hold in our hand, no leaven, causing it to rise. It's in it. It's a picture of the body of Christ, perfect, without sin. But the Lord said to them, "Where wilt thou that," or the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" Preparation would have had to have been a lamb slain, and all of the elements that went with that Passover meal. But he said, "Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand." Here's where I believe that the Lord was directing the disciples to one of his own. That's who the Lord's table is about. It's for the Lord's people, for those that he came to save by his shed blood. The reason I say that is because he said this, "Do in remembrance of me." You can't remember somebody you haven't known. And the only way to know him is for him to be revealed. "But my time is at hand. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law. He said, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." There's a household that celebrate the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Passover depicted. It's the household of God, those given to his son for whom he came. "And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them." Even though Christ was a man, yet he ordained all things. We would not do anything for him were it not by appointment. "And they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat," here the first reference to eating would have been that Passover meal. Would have had a lamb slain. It would have had unleavened bread. It would have had herbs, wine. "But as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I?" Now notice, it doesn't make any distinction here, even with Judas. I think a lot of people think that Judas had his mind made up from the beginning. He was a troubled man in turmoil. Didn't know from one second to the next what he would do. He had the restraining hand of God upon him until such time as the Lord said, whatever thou doest, do it quickly. And Satan entered into him. Such would be our case. But he would have been among these exceeding sorrowful, every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? That's something we don't like to think about, is it? Could we be that Judas? Is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. That's a feigned fellowship, to take and dip that sop in the dish with Christ, to make a profession and yet betray him. But he says, verse 24, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. I'm thankful that it doesn't say by whom the Son of Man is crucified, because that would exclude us all. That would have even excluded Peter. But betrayed in the sense of trading off Christ and his glory for something other. Just like Esau did for the pot of porridge. Or the children of Israel who loathed that manna and coveted the leeks and onions of Egypt. They returned to their former religion, to their vomit, like dogs going to the vomit. When you see the difference between a Peter and a Judas, what was the difference? The difference was only in that Christ said to Peter that he had prayed for him. And that when he was converted, he was to go and encourage his brethren. Judas, given even after this betrayal, people say, well, he... that opportunity was there for him to come back because he took the money back and threw it back to the Pharisees. But the scripture says he went and hung himself. None will come to Christ unless the Spirit draw him. Left ourselves, that's what we would do. Woe unto that man, that person by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. And here in this context is pretty clear. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? I think even right to this point, there was a vacillating in his own heart. And he said unto him, Thou hast said. At what point do people get up and walk away from Christ for something else? I don't know. I know that we would be the first to go were it not the Lord keeping us. So let's don't sit cocky and think that that would never happen to me. They that persevere unto the end shall be saved. It's not how you begin. It's how the story ends. Judas was right up there with them. Nothing that set him apart. There wasn't anybody here thinking that he's talking about Judas. Every one of them asked, is it I? In fact, the way it's written in the original, it's not me, it's the Lord. Now, you read in one of the other Gospels, at this point, Judas left. Then, verse 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. Break it. Now comes the establishing of the Lord's table. And he gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. That's what we hold in our hand. The bread broken, symbolizing the perfection of Christ, his body, flesh. Think about what it takes to produce wheat. The seed has to be sown and die, has to grow up, cut down, taken and crushed in the mill, and then put in the fire. It's got marks of fire on it. What a picture of Christ coming in the flesh. And then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, not everybody, many, for the remission of sins, the putting away of sins. Where were sins put away? It's not when you believed. They were put away when Christ died. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When was that? That was at his resurrection. When he went and sought out everyone for whom he had paid the debt that was alive at that point and revealed himself unto them. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And here's the part that's glorious. Then Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. All. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. So if we'd have been there, we'd have been right there with them, running for our lives. But here's the glorious good news. Verse 32. The Lord said, But after I am risen again, notice, I will go before you into Galilee. What shepherd that doesn't gather his sheep? He's the faithful shepherd. And I'm thankful he is. So let's thank the Lord for the bread and the wine, and then we'll partake. Gracious Father, what glorious words, marvelous beyond our understanding. fact that we have this privilege of even holding this bread in our hand, partaking of this cup, not for anything in us, but because of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. So I thank you for these emblems. Thank you for this ordinance that you've left us to remember Christ's death until he come again. I pray that you would fill our hearts with thankfulness and gratitude and humbly cause us to bow low at Christ's feet to his honor and glory. And we give you all the thanks and the praise in his precious name. Amen.